Hi everyone, welcome back to the seven part learning about the seven key cost components that business needs to measure in order to be sustainable and be profitable. So this is the last sessions, and I'm gonna go over the key cost number six and also the key cost number seven. So let's do a refresh of what are those. As you know, we are talking about one and two are business development. Number three is the cost of delivering or manufacturing the product. Number four is quality control and customer retentions. Number five is about innovation, which I told you my favorite subject. And the last part of this presentation is key cost number six and number seven, and who have the control over those costs, right? So I put it right here, the CFO and the controller are having the control of number six. And finally, the CEO of the company, who should have a lot of fun and enjoying the fun of the business, to be in charge of cost number seven. So out of all of this cost, look, you know, this is the only cost that the CEO allowed to touch and give it a budget. So let's go through it and let's have a good understanding of what are they. So key cost number six is what I told, I must have business functions. It's essential to the business. And sometimes, you know, business owners can cut the corners and worry about spending the money in this part. This is, I call it essential, because without, you know, spending proper money and finding the right talent in this part, it can make or break the business. Why did I say it's make or break the business? According to the statistic, there are, you know, 80% of the business fail for the first 2 years. And then after that, for the next 2 years, it's going to be also another 80% that is fell after the 2 years. And statistically, all of this business that have fell, 60% of them fell because they did not have the right partners who taken care of the essential business function for their business. It's like a financial advisors, the CFO, the accountants, like not having the right chief operating officers, not having the right IT, or maybe also getting into legal issues. And when we're talking about the legality issues, this can cause, you know, a bigger chunk of business fail because of this as well. So that's why I call it essentials. And sometimes there's company who overspending this money and company who are underspending this money. The company that overspending this money, then I need to learn to detach from the comfort of having some of the functions. What I mean is the comfort of the function, because, you know, when you're talking about essential business, you're also talking about human resources functions. So when you have a smaller team, you may not have a lot of the HR issues that you have to engage, you know, a full-blow, you know, human resource professionals who making sure that the employees are happy at work, who making sure that their fitness are well taken care of, who making sure that the benefits are available for the employees. Well, you have a small pool of employees, so it's not necessarily to hire an HR director to manage that part of your business. But what is important that you need to spend money on? And I'm going to go through the charge of account. And some of this may be, again, it may not be relevant. You know, the biggest test that put you to the test is really is requiring the global crisis for business to realize what is essential business and what is essential business function that you need to have within your company. And by that time, people realize either they've been paying too much, they pay too little, or they are paying not having the right team members. And so it's make or break the business. So let me go through the charge of account with you for the essential must-have business functions. So the must-have business functions, you know, the very first one is insurance, right? So every business, you have to have the insurance so that it can help you to mitigate the risk. At the same time, you know, many business owners who are in the business for a long time, they may be talking to the broker once and signing on a program once, and then every year the broker just renew whatever that is in place. The business owner did not have time actually to look back to see that did my insurance has been looking out for the best interest, whether maybe my revenue have grown, but then the, you know, the business interruption coverage did not grow. So let's say you used to sign up for, hey, if I'm going to have to close the door for 2 days because of our utilities, then the average selling per day was $10,000 from what I'm estimating. Well, no, it's maybe now that your business has been growing that the estimated each day has become like $20,000. So now your insurance coverage may not be efficient, you know, may not be correct. And then, of course, on the other side also, when you sign on to the business, originally you were expecting bigger sales and bigger team members, and now you have a smaller team members. So your insurance premium also need to be adjusted accordingly. And, you know, one of the first thing that I did when I was a CFO for any clients is that I always looking at the insurance policies, because I know many people, including myself, don't understand what are they writing about in the insurance policy and what's exactly the coverage. So I usually engage an independent third party broker who do an analysis of the current insurance policy that I have. And sure enough, every single customer that I touch the insurance, they either way under coverage or they actually way over coverage. And every single one of them, they are saving anywhere between $5,000 to $20,000 a year. And this is the small business owners that I'm helping, you know, with the revenue, maybe a couple millions dollars in annual revenue. But this, you know, is just being, you know, anywhere between $5,000 and $50,000. That's still a very big amount. And also sometimes we don't know we have appropriate coverage, right? The next one is accounting, which is my biggest pet peeve, of course, right? So accounting, if you are a smaller organization, you know, less than $1 million, you may not necessarily have to have a team of accountant and paying like $3,000 a month, you know, to manage the accounting. But at the same time, you have to, there's so many function of the business that rotating, so that making sure that having the right bookkeeper, having the right accountant is so important, because they are the one that knowing your data. The problem is that do they know how to classify your expenditures in the right buckets? So sometimes people can classify as, let's say, you know, you're a landscaping company and you buy a mower, a lawnmower, and that instead of putting it into part of the fixed assets of the company, now they're putting it as a big expenditure that you have for the month. So the classification issues, right? But, you know, business owners is like, because people think, you know, having accounting is just the end of the day, I'm just going to wait until the end of the year and just showing my bank statements and give it to the tax preparer and say, hey, tax preparer, just make up the number, file the tax returns, and that's all they care about. And it's not about, you know, truly thinking that having the right input of the data can really helping you, business owner. You don't have to make decision off gut feeling, but it's really based on the data is telling you. The next one, I put rent in here, but a lot of time, you know, does your business really, really need to have a brick and mortar? You know, does it really have to have an office space? And this rent is very different from, you know, under the operations, there's also have to be rent that are located in here. Right. So this rent is different. So this rent is the space where the machine actually manufacturing the products. So you need the space. But then, you know, under the essential functions is the rent space right here is where, you know, your accounting staff may be sitting with your marketing person and with your innovator person so that they can collaborate and working in it. So you really need the space. And sometimes, you know, with the pandemic, we are learning that we're going to have to work remotely and learning to work very differently. So this rent may not necessary anymore, and you may have to get rid of it. But, you know, there are still space that you still really need in it, because imagine you are a dental office. You still have to have a receptionist that's sitting there to greet your customer when they are coming in. So you still needing this rent and this space allocated to it. And so it's essential to your business, right? And whenever we're talking about rent, we have to talk about utilities, right? So there's have to be electricity to run the AC and other things. The next thing is I put technology fees or also the IT fees as well. You know, let's say a company, you have to have, you know, emails or the platform like a network that you can share information. So then you have to pay a subscriptions, you know, for the hosting service of your server, or, you know, you have to pay for a Microsoft licensing fees to detect and or virus detection. So those are the technology fees that I added in here. And the next thing is that phone. You know, we can't live without our phone, either a desk phone or now people are going to go into mobile phone, right? There's no more home phone, but phone is still an essential that you need to put it in. Internet, of course, office supplies, they will be printing. And when you have a space and you need to get it clean, so there's cleaning fees. I put in here professional fee, legal fee, tax fees. So these fees, sometimes business owners just didn't think about it. And when the end of the year, when they're filing their tax returns, they're just paying out their own buckets instead of thinking, well, this is a business expenditures. And of course, you know, there's payroll that's involved with the admin person or with the accounting person or whoever it is that working in the essential functions. And a lot of time I also put it in here is that with the essential function, there's also people that doing procurement, which means that people are making sure that you are engaging the right vendors into the business and always doing the price checking. There are compliance and licensing fees. I say, for example, I'm a CPA firm, so I always have to pay an annual licensing fees. Or even if you're a business, you always have to pay a registration for fees for your business. And one of the line items that I highlight in here is like bank charges, right? So you may have like different bank account, they're charging you money. So some of this cost is just unavoidable. But what you can do is making sure that these costs are being kept to the minimum. They need it for your business to survive, but at the same time, they can be really negotiated. And also, you know, don't always, of course, go in for the cheapest one, right? Because it's the quality and it's depend on what your business are needing. And this need to be scaling as the growth of your business. So just like if I were talking about, if you want to grow your business to be an international business, then you can't just believe you're going to stay in this kind of expenditures, right? You're going to have more expenditures and outsourcing internationally. So that's what I call a total essential business and expenditure that we need to spend. And you need to have a bare minimum of what exactly is that. And this is important because sometimes business who are, I mean, most of you here are the veteran business owners, so you know these are unavoidable costs. But business owners who are new and entrepreneurs that walk into the space, this is something that they're not anticipating. You know, they're anticipating they spend money in marketing, they're anticipating in creating the products, but they didn't anticipating to have all of these fees and expenditures. But it's critical. Your business cannot survive without these really essential functions that need to be carried out, right? Take a deep breath here. Okay, what is next? What are on the horizon? So this is the next one and the last key component. I mean, the goal here is that I'm trying to shrink the categories of all of the expenditures a business have within seven categories. So we're not going like too wild and too crazy about it. And sometimes the question coming up is like, which one it should be in the right bucket? This bucket for me is almost like, don't think it's like an others and miscellaneous and you dump whatever into it. What is, I call this is an add-on and it's a value culture enhancing and fun. So as your business grow, you want to keep the people with you, or as your business grow, you want to be integrate more into the communities, then you have to budget that out an amount of money for doing charity work, right? And if you have a bigger team, you know, anybody from five, you know, more than five employees, then you have to have, you know, team meetings and team building activities. So events, so you would have meals and entertainment and events. You want to have, you know, to keep your staff with you, then you also have to come up with program like a retirement plan to keep them. You know, business owners, it used to be before the Obamacare here in the U.S., is that they not required to offering benefits to the employee like health insurance. But now it's still a very strong and it's a very expensive for business if they have to carry out the insurance for the employees. But any business owners would take on this challenge and providing the medical expenditures. I hope that the employees will be aware of that because the cost per employees is nobody that I have seen less than $300 a month for a person. So when they hire on as a full-time employee, the first thing that the business owners have to spending on is already the health benefit is can go anywhere from $300 per person all the way to $600-$700 per person. You know, the bigger the organizations, you know, that's why people are choosing often to work with large organizations who have thousands of employees because their health benefit is really good. And this large organization actually have to pay about as a minimum $600 per person in order to offer the health benefits per month. So it cannot be taken very slightly. You know, there are the wellness program. So let's say there are incentives for people to go exercise and fitness or the dues and the memberships. You know, let's say some of the employees are really want to improve in their communication and they want to join in a Toastmaster, then the company maybe consider to reimbursement the people for this money, you know, joining in different memberships to improve their professional life or even with, you know, the personal. And then the next thing is allowance, so which is, you know, phone and auto. And so, again, these are add-on benefits that company are giving to the employees. And sometimes only really the CEO would see all of this benefit and say, you know what, yeah, I'm willing to invest this money. So I want to the company, the employees to feel fun. And so I would call it as a, you know, investment in the fund. Some of the company I know that have been very, very generous. You know, they may be giving out cruise tickets or a international traveling for their employees, you know, as part of the end of the year, instead of, you know, bonuses, people may be given into a different type of reward, and it's not always about money. And sometimes, you know, like going on a cruise with your coworker, it can be a memory. You know, it's building the bonding, the family feel of a business that want to create. So that's the key cost number seven. So, you know, it's a lot for business owners to take in. As I can guarantee you, it's also a lot for an accountant or a bookkeeper to take in as well. Because, you know, when they pick up an invoice, how do you classify it? Which cost component do I put it in? And the more knowledge that they have and put in the right buckets, the more advantageous a business owner would have in order to make really business decisions. So from this is the conclusion of my part seven. And if you want to learn more or want me to help you to create or looking at the assessment and, you know, just bring in your financial and say, hey, Wendy, can you do a classification and review for me to tell me how much is each of this my company has spending in the past. And then I also coming up with a matrix of what is the right percentage from the revenue that need to be allocated into this each bucket, just like, you know, the allocation of the budget for the profits as well. Thank you very much for your time. And if you'd like to contact me, you can go to wendywincoaching.com and looking forward to hearing all of you. Also follow me on LinkedIn with a lot of posts that I share more tips and how to for business owners to be successful.